of joy, they're now flooding my soul. I know my sin debt is paid. I'm forgiven of my sin, and I've been born again. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm saved, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. The burden of sin that I've carried so long, it's gone, Christ rose from the grave. And you can't make me doubt what I'm gonna shout. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have.
Saving you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where I go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I love a song like that with a message that honors Jesus, honors the saving blood, hallelujah, and shows the love and grace of a mighty Redeemer. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts is the picture of the early church. It does not have an ending. The book of Acts is written in a fashion that shows the last chapter is just waiting for the next chapter. And you and I are to be the next chapter and the next chapter, because the book of Acts was never, never intended to be a conclusion in itself. So I read to you this morning from Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. Notice the fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I love that statement. And began to speak with other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit, as the Holy Ghost, gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded, because they heard every man speak in his own language wherein he was born. I mean, this is overwhelming. This is overwhelming. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, I mean, this is beautiful. They all marveled and said one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? They went on to say, are not these drunk? What meaneth this? Was words. So I preached this morning on the divine person named the Holy Ghost. The divine person named the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is his broad name. The Holy Ghost is his New Testament revelation of his name. The same person, the broad meaning the Holy Spirit, the expression of him in the New Testament as a representative of Christ, the Holy Ghost. Now, let me preach this morning. I don't know, I would like for you to keep notes, but I'm going to give you these notes in the bulletin next Sunday. Because I want you to have them. I want to give you, the Lord helping me, 7 beautiful things that the Holy Ghost wants to do in your life. 7 beautiful things that the Holy Ghost wants to do in your life. You may be seated. I ask that you keep your Bible open. Listen attentively, if you would please. God's going to help me to say something that will change your life if you'll let it. I can't make it change your life. You all alone can make it or allow it to change your life. But I hope and pray that it does this morning. Now, when you begin to deal with the Holy Ghost, the first thing you need to understand, he is the breath of God from heaven. He is the breath of God from heaven. He is a sovereign person. A sovereign being. He's not just an influence. He's not just a manifestation of an emotion. He is a being. Sovereign person. You can worship the Father. You can worship the Son. And you can worship the Holy Ghost. When I worship the Holy Ghost, I always worship him with these words. I say, Holy Ghost, I worship you because you continually take me to the Father. And you continually take me to the Son. And you are like a usher at the door of my heart, ever taking me into those realms of spiritual power and glory with my Father and with my Savior. Now, when you understand the Holy Ghost as the doorkeeper of the heavenly sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, the intermost wonderful presence of Jesus Christ, you come to love him and worship him, because all of the fellowship you have with Jesus, the Holy Ghost is the person who takes you into that fellowship. The Holy Ghost is that divine member of the Godhead that came to reveal the Father and the Son in my heart. Came to make the Father and the Son known to me. And he also will make me known to the Father and the Son. It's a wonderful relationship. It's a wonderful truth. Now, I want to give you 7 things. All of them are sermons as a whole themselves, by themselves. And you could easily preach on each of them, but I won't try to do that this morning. I probably wouldn't have the time. But I want to tell you 6 things that I want to get into your heart about the person of the Holy Ghost. Number 1, he is a divine person who comes to abide in your life and to become the sovereign source of your relationship with the Bible, with God, and with all things spiritual. The Holy Ghost is a person. He wants to dwell in you. But he will not dwell in you if you don't give him control of your life. He will not come in there and be a visitor on certain occasions. He does not come just to give you an experience. The Pentecostals of our day are so experience-oriented. They're so caught up in just having a little picnic occasionally They're so caught up in just a little touch on Sunday morning if the choir sings good enough. They're just kind of given over to just having an experience occasionally. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, the Holy Ghost will give you an experience. And there's no experience that matches the experiences given to you by the Holy Ghost. But he didn't come just to give you an emotional experience. He didn't just come to let good, beautiful chills run up your spine because of the beauty of his presence. He came to take control of your life. He came to do a work in you that is eternally sovereign. He came to take over your life. Now, I want you to hear that, and I'm going to slow up right here a minute, because I want that to sink in. He came to take over your life. You need to read Romans chapter 8. Paul said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Would you like to quote that with me? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Did you know that your Bible, and these were the words of Jesus, actually teaches you not to say, I'm going to town tomorrow, but you're to say, if the Lord pleases, I'm going to town tomorrow. The Holy Ghost teaches us in this Bible that he has come to become sovereign in our life. To become sovereign in our life. He's come to fill you with such a presence and such a beauty and such a loveliness of God. He's come to fill you with such a beautiful direction and leadership. He's come to give you his will. He's come to guide you down the pathway toward heaven in the center of God's will. He's come to be sovereign in your life. And if you will let him become sovereign in your life, he will fill you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will be on fire. John the Baptist say about Jesus? He's come to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what? And with fire. Oh, great day. I'm longing for a Pentecostal revival. I want a revival that brings sinners to the cross. But I'm here to tell you, before the sinners are going to be brought in mass to the cross, there's got to be a Holy Ghost revival in the church. There's got to be a return to what the Holy Ghost has come to do in our lives. You can read through this Bible, and every activity of the Holy Ghost is indeed beautiful, tremendous. It's just overwhelmingly, overwhelmingly exciting. And not a one of us is excluded from his plan. The Holy Ghost, now listen to me, sovereignly comes to a believer, a saved believer, and calls them into the area of service that God has planned for their life. The Holy Ghost comes to every saved person, every saved individual. When you get saved and you begin to walk with him, he will shortly, maybe a little longer in some than others, but he will mature you and bring you to a place that he will show you his will for your life. Now, when he shows you his will for your life, there is no backing out of it. There is no repentance of it. There is no turning from it. That is his will for your life. And I have seen multiple Christians through my walk with Christ get a will of God, tell the will of God, and spend years trying to get to the place of doing the will of God. When God gives you a will, his will, he then immediately trains you in doing that will and sends you out to do that will. And that's what God's will is for you. And if you don't do that will and Jesus comes, you're going to be left. He's coming where he called you to be. And that's where he's looking for you. And if you're not there, he can't find you. Somebody let me see your hand. Am I preaching all right, Brother Danny? God has a will for your life. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. That's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't just want to give you a few chills occasionally when the music is beautiful. And I love those chills. I love to feel what I've been feeling this morning. I've had to hold myself from wanting to run, but nobody will run with me, so I just didn't run. Now, you know, that's not right, brother. Well, I mean, I didn't have to, but I sure didn't want to. I want to tell you something. When you know His will and you do His will and you surrender to His will and you become usable to His will and you give it everything you got, it is the most wonderful life on the face of this earth. Somebody that knows the will of God, raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me your will. Thank you for putting me in your will. Thank you for putting me where I belong. Hallelujah. Now He wants you to go for it. He wants you to get gusto. How you say gusto? About doing the will of God with all of your heart and all of your life. Oh, declare. Somebody raise their hand and help me. The Holy Ghost is a sovereign person. Now, I'm asking, how many of you know you're saved? You know that you know that you know that you're saved. How many of you have got close enough to God that you heard the Holy Ghost say, this is what I want for you. This is my will for you. You know what His will is? To teach. And you don't even know how to stop. The bells can ring and you don't even hear them. I'm picking at Him now. But that's the calling. When you get in God's calling, it becomes a gusto experience. It becomes the most... to think that right now, saints of God, 81 years old, and I know what the will of God is for me. And I'm going to do it, brother. I'm going to do it, brother Jack, with everything I've got until my time is up. Hallelujah. Because it's so wonderful. It's so beautiful. Brother Dylan, come by me at prayer meeting Thursday night. He was anointing the pews. We've been anointing the altars and the pews. We're looking for fire, folks. I know what you're looking for, but we're looking for the fire of the Holy Ghost. We're looking for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling a little bit of it burning right now. Hallelujah. And I said, Brother Dylan, I've been praying, and the Holy Ghost had been praying. I think I'd sung a little bit in the Holy Ghost. And I said, Dylan, there's no joy in the world like this joy. And there really isn't. If you ever feel the moving of the Holy Ghost, and it stretches from your head to your toes, you never forget it. Oh, I feel like jumping and running and doing something. I don't know. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, dear folks. I don't know you, but we'll meet in a little bit. And I'm here to tell you, it's wonderful when you give yourself to His will. Brother Chambers, I'm not sure I want that kind of life where that I'm just sold out for the Lord. Well, you can't have Him no other way. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And He is Lord through the Holy Ghost. That's how Jesus is Lord. He isn't Lord separate from the Holy Ghost. He's Lord by the Holy Ghost. And you know, I don't know why I can get past this point or not. But having a relationship with the Holy Ghost has got to be the most wonderful thing I've ever known in my Christian walk. And last night and this morning, all week in fact, I've been dealing with this subject and thinking about writing or preaching on the purpose of the Holy Ghost and just thinking of the different things the Holy Ghost has come to do. And there's so many, but it has to start with this personal encounter. It has to start with this personal surrender. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him through the Holy Ghost. The Father is working His will in you through the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus is departing His graces through you. Through the Lord, through the Holy Ghost, the Bible is becoming real to you. Everything that God has is all tied up in what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. And he's got to have you before he can start. He's literally got to possess you. He's got to possess you. Joe Chambers don't belong to Joe Chambers. I belong to the Holy Ghost and Juanita. But Juanita only in the physical. But in the rest of my being, it's the Holy Ghost that owns Joe Chambers. I belong to him. And I want to tell you something. I wouldn't change it. I don't want nothing different. Hallelujah. I'm as happy. Oh, I'm telling you. The old country saying was, I'm as happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. You never heard that one, have you? That's an old one. That's an old one from the country where I was raised. Happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. I don't know. That's crazy. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a happy man. How many of you can say I'm a happy person? Would you raise your hand up? Raise it way up high. I really want to be the vessel of the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand up. I want to become, in utter surrender, the vessel. Raise it up and keep it up there a minute, will you? A vessel of the Holy Ghost. I want him to show me his will. I want him to become so personal in me that I can know day by day that I'm actually walking in the center of his will. That he's doing his will in me. I want to be his. I want to be his completely, utterly, totally. I want to be his. And I really do. We have this vessel. We have this blessing in an earthen vessel. Say that with me. We have this blessing, this treasure, the Bible calls it. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency might be of God and not of us. You preached good last Sunday, they told me, but it won't just Derek. It was the Holy Ghost in Derek. You are a vessel. I mean, I can tell he's a vessel. Can you tell Derek is a vessel of the Lord? Hallelujah. He's just jumping around all the time. Hallelujah. I like that. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody said something and he responded and I didn't hear it. I'll find out later. Okay. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Now, that's one thing that the Holy Ghost comes to do. Take over your life. That's really the ultimate. But here's something that has overwhelmed me. I will never get over it. He came to take over my life. And one of the first things he did, he gave me the language of heaven. He gave me the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the reason we speak in tongues is not some esoteric moment. It's not just some emotional experience. And it's been treated such. It has been made so cheap that the world laughs about it. And the world makes fun of it. But I want to tell you something. Speaking in tongues is not cheap. And it's not just something to give you an emotional moment. Speaking in tongues is when he, the Spirit of God in me, Joseph Chambers, talks the language of the Father and the Son. And I can pray in a language that even the devil cannot translate. And I can talk to God in a language that Satan knows nothing about. And I can pray and get beyond and above and ahead of the devil. And he's running trying to catch up behind. Because God has given me a language that is the language of the triune God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You understand why the early church turned the world upside down. There was a bunch of people full of the Holy Ghost from head to toe. And they talked and prayed and sung the language of heaven. And they lived in utter communion with the Father and the Son. And they turned the world around. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a Savior, what a Savior, hallelujah. He is a wonderful Savior. He wants to have your life. He wants to take you. When I come to the house, to the church to pray, and I begin to pray anymore, you know, I've been a Christian 65 years. I've done a lot of growing. I'm still not there. I'm like Paul, who said, I count not myself to have apprehended that for which I was apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, all the tough moments, all the hard places, darling, forgetting all of them, forgetting the trials of, of the enemy coming, even in your own children, even in people you love, forgetting all of that, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Oh, raise the hand with me, will you? You see, forgetting those things. Forget your weaknesses of yesteryear. Forget the things you did when you was in sin. Forget the things you did that now you're ashamed of. Forget the careless way you walked and the careless way you lived. Forget what kind of a helpless, no good church member you may have been in the past. And say this morning, all of that's behind me. I am ready for God to take me. I want to know the language of the Holy Ghost. I want to be usable to God. I want God to do something with me. I'm tired of seeing God do something with other people that God isn't doing in me. I want God to have me. Now, I want, you see, Jude, you know, Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. Wrote one little book. What, 20, 30 verses? I don't remember exactly. And in one of those verses, he said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I hear people speaking in tongues all over the place, week by week, month by month, year by year. And so much of it is just an emotional moment. Will you listen to me and not feel bad at me? Just an emotional moment. Not bad. Really a good experience. But they never get beyond those emotional moments until they become an intercessor in the realm of the divine, until they can literally find them a place of prayer, and they can pray until God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost share their language with them, and they begin to talk to God on His level. They begin to talk to God in His tongue. They begin to talk to God in a language that's pure and perfect and divine. No self can enter in. No flesh can enter in. No carnality can enter in. Nothing of the human nature that is false from God can enter in. It's just you and God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost having communion together. Now that's what the Holy Ghost came to give you. That's what the Holy Ghost came to do in you. That kind of intercession, that kind of communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is heavenly. The Pentecostal church knows too little about it. I preach to preachers about praying in the Holy Ghost, and I've never heard a half a dozen in all these years that got alone. And they I won't listen in. But I want to hear it sometimes, don't you? It does me good, brother. It does me good to hear a man praying in the Holy Ghost. I love to hear you praying in the Holy Ghost. I love to hear you, Brother Gans, praying in the Holy Ghost. I've heard Brother Marlon praying in the Holy Ghost. I've heard Brother Ken up there praying in the Holy Ghost. I've heard a few others, and I'm not putting anybody down, Brother Danny Lee, Danny Lawless. I love all of that. But I want to tell you, it's for everybody in this building. How many of you would like to know the Holy Ghost in such an intimacy and such a realness that He would begin to use you as a vessel of communion with the Father and the Son? Let me see your hand if you would. Come on, throw it way up. You really want that? It's yours, Sister Stephanie. It's yours, Sister Yvonne. All you've got to do is give Him all. All you've got to do is put His will first in your life. If He's given you His will and you're halfway doing it, you ain't going an inch further. Are you listening to me? I have met them by the scads who get God's will and they never have the courage to go do God's will. I tell you right now, I'd tear down the wall before I'd keep from doing the will of God. I'd pull down everything around me before I'd keep from doing the will of God. I'd tell everybody that loves me, I'm sorry, the will of God is first and foremost, and I'm going to do it with all I've got because heaven is waiting for me. Praying. The Holy Ghost, the first thing, notice the scriptures I read, they began to speak with tongues, languages. as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And in that city, at that moment, were people from all over the known world. Jews that had gone and had made business acquaintances and living acquaintances in all kinds of places. They were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And these people got the baptism and they began to run out in the streets and down the streets, I presume. And they're shouting and praying and talking in the language that God just gave them. And these people are saying, where did they learn these languages? They're a bunch of people from up in Galilee. And the Holy Ghost had gave it to them. I remember the first time I spoke with tongues. I was in a tent. Was having a revival about 15 houses from my wife's home, up there behind the service station. And we put up a tent. We're going to organize a new church. And I got into sawdust one night. Never forget it. I said, Father, I've been saved now over a year. It's time for me to have the Holy Ghost. I'm not leaving. I'm not going nowhere tonight till you fill me with the Holy Ghost. I tore up the sawdust. Somebody say, I tore up the sawdust. I tore up the sawdust. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost that night. I'll never forget praying and worshiping. And I began to pray and worship in another language. Here's a little old dumb boy that couldn't even speak English. And when I got saved a few months earlier, I had to learn to read with the Bible. I mean, I couldn't even talk English. And here I am, I'm talking in another language. Joe Chambers. And I was overwhelmed. About two nights later, Brother Cumberson, I was staying in his home as a boarder, and his wife was out that night. He said, Joe, let's just go pray until we have a move of the Holy Ghost tonight. So we went in their bedroom and began to pray. And we began to pray, won't long, until Joe Chambers was talking in that Holy Ghost language again. And it was the most wonderful. I mean, here's a little boy. His dad had been an alcoholic and a drunkard, had already committed suicide. I'd been through hell and high water a dozen times. I mean, life had been rough and life had been bad. And I was only a little teenage boy and I wasn't real smart. But I want to tell you one thing. I was full of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost in me said, I'm calling you to preach. And I'll never forget it. I began to tell them, God's called me to preach. They said, you can't even talk. You're so tongue-tied. I said, God will take care of that. I'm called to preach. And they begged me to drop that feeling that I was called to preach. And would you believe I wouldn't? How many of you will obey the call of God regardless of what the devil says to you? Raise your hand if you'll do it. How many of you will do it post-haste? How many of you are going to keep waiting around with it? How many of you are going to get busy in it? How many of you are going, you know what? If this whole church would get full of this Holy Ghost I'm preaching about tonight, I want to tell you, we will turn this city upside down. It is not an if or a maybe or reckon so. We'll shake this city. We're not full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I can't hardly get some of you to clap your hands. I can't hardly get some of you to raise it. How are you going to pray in the Holy Ghost when you can't even move? You say, Brother Tim, you shouldn't preach like this. I don't know nothing else to preach. I want a Holy Ghost revival. I want to shake the city of Charlotte. I want to turn this place upside down. I love this sing. I mean, anybody wouldn't come to hear the singing we have. Now, I don't know, but I don't want just people coming to hear the singing. I want us to have a Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first two things the Holy Ghost does, he comes to abide in your life. If he can't start there, you can go no further. The other points of my sermon are absolutely of no value to you if you don't turn your life over to the Holy Ghost. If you don't let him become the master. I'll never forget an old Baptist preacher, and he is a good one, Stephen Alford. He preaches about being full of the Holy Ghost, and he's still alive. He's still alive, preaches in all kinds of Baptist places, but they don't pay him no attention. I can promise you that. They certainly don't change to match his preaching. But he tells how when he got saved, the Holy Ghost was in him. And he had the Holy Ghost. He said, but when I went on and got full of the Holy Ghost, he had me. I had him. He had me. There's some of you who you really are saved. Most of you are really saved. I mean, you're a bunch of wonderful people. I'm not doubting anybody in here. I'm not doubting any one of you. You have him. But has he been given you yet? Have you turned yourself over to him yet? Have you become utterly the property of the Holy Ghost? Now, I'm not asking you to raise no hands, but I will ask you to do this. How many of you are ready to do that? You're ready to become the property. Raise it way up high. Way up high. I'm ready to become the property of the Holy Ghost. I'm ready for him to get a hold of me. Hallelujah. Now, there's five more points, and time will not let me to preach them. But I will preach them. I promise you that. I'm going to tell you the things. Let me give them to you. And so you can begin to muse on them. The Holy Ghost doesn't just come to take over and abide in you. He doesn't just come to help you and give you the ability to talk in the language of the Father and the Son. The next thing he does, he comes to lead you into truth. He is the teacher of truth. He is the spirit of truth. Do you hear me? The Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. This whole Bible is absolutely the total mind of the Holy Ghost. Every word in this Bible is the mind of the Holy Ghost. Think about that. He is the spirit of truth. Men spake and wrote the word of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. How many remember reading that? Men wrote the Bible as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something. He is the spirit of truth. He is the spirit of truth. I am amazed. Here I am, 81, and people thinking I should have retired 16 years ago at 65. And I'm telling you that the revelations of the Bible are more rich to me than they've ever been. I get to reading this Bible, and I'm going to find I don't keep my seat. I guarantee you, Brother Joseph heard me scream a few times up there in that trailer. Have you? You ever heard me scream? Come in the hallway, does. I mean, I'm in love with this book. And I'm in love with him that's from above, if I can say it to rhyme. I'm in love with him from above. I'm in love with the things the Holy Ghost is doing in me. I'd rather know I'm full of the Holy Ghost than be the richest man in America. I'd rather know I'm full of the Holy Ghost than to have the authority and power of the president. I'd rather know I'm full of the Holy Ghost than to have all kinds of degrees and best books sold. I'd rather know I'm full of the Holy Ghost because I've got the truth, and the truth will set you free. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever read that? The truth will set you free. Oh. And then he's the spirit of wisdom. See, something bigger than truth is wisdom. Truth is knowing the Word. Wisdom is knowing how to allow the Word to be applied in your life. Knowing how to apply it in teaching, preaching to others. Wisdom is one of the greatest needs of this hour. We need people teaching and preaching the wisdom of God. And then the next is he's the spirit of conviction. Do you know why you're not leading anybody to Jesus? Do you know why almost nobody in this building has ever personally led one soul to the cross? It's because you're not allowing the Holy Ghost of conviction to rule in your life. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, conviction will flow out of you. Sinners will be nervous around you. Your family will be nervous when they come to visit you, because the spirit of conviction will be upon you. And the Holy Ghost is the spirit of conviction. And the greatest need of the church world is conviction, Brother Danny. You've been saying that. We need conviction. We need Holy Ghost conviction that sinners are brought to bear before God and see their sins and where they're going. I love the thought of the spirit of conviction. Included in that, of course, is the spirit of holiness. You get full of the Holy Ghost, and holiness will be natural for you. You won't be able to get away with nothing. You can't get away with nothing when you got the spirit of conviction. You even think about dressing in a casual, careless way, and Holy Ghost will convict you. You just think about going somewhere to some old smutty place where wickedness is apparent, and you'll be convicted when you reach the door. I'm talking about the spirit of conviction. That's what the church world needs more than anything that I can name, is the spirit of conviction. We got a Pentecostal world that's gone after the world with all they got. Why are they going after the world? Because the Holy Ghost isn't dwelling and ruling in their vessel. You can't get away with nothing. I love that. You can't get away with nothing. Now listen to me, church. When you begin to think about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I've got to get you. I've got to get you to listen to me now. I've got to get you to get beyond just an emotional moment. I'm coming to the altar of the chambers. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're ready to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I got news for you. Most people pray for months and sometimes years to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and wonder why they can't get the Holy Ghost. And I've seen numbers of people, somebody would come to church and get saved and get really sanctified, and they'd have the Holy Ghost in a few weeks, and hear this old staunch, stubborn church member standing over here who's been claiming seeking the Holy Ghost for 10 years. And he gets all jealous and all angry because somebody who just got saved got full of the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you the problem with that church member. He's been full of something, but it ain't been the Holy Ghost. It ain't been the love of Jesus. It ain't been a surrender to God. You get surrendered to God, you get good and sanctified, you get cleaned up from the world, you get the Holy Ghost in the middle of the night dreaming. Ever heard of that? Just dreaming. Wake up talking in tongues, speaking in the language of heaven. Why? Because they got surrendered. They got surrendered. Right now, so I can quit for the morning and not worry you too long. How many of you would say, I'm ready right now to surrender the total of my life to the ministry of the Holy Ghost? I want you to raise your hand. Now I want you to think, why are you raising your hand? Are you truly ready? Oh, my city quality. Are you ready to give it all utterly and totally? God, your will be the way I live the rest of my born days. I will do thy thing, the things that you show me. I'll be so faithful to the church, my pastor will know I'm a dedicated member. I'll be faithful to do the things that I have the capacity to do. I'll even come and clean the bathrooms if I need to find something to do for God. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, now you don't believe that. Yes, I do. How many are ready? Come on, raise the hand again. I surrender all. Would you stand with your hand raised? Oh, God could fill somebody with the Holy Ghost right here this morning. Everybody that's full of the Holy Ghost, just worship him, will you? Let the Holy Ghost be real to you. Let the Holy Ghost be real in you. I mean, hallelujah. Oh, he's got something for you, little lady. You know that, don't you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's got something for you over there, Telsey. Hallelujah. He wants you totally lock, stock, and barrel. He wants everything you are his. I know you've got some very unusual circumstances, but you please God in them. You be faithful to God in them. You get in this church and be faithful. And don't let nothing called an excuse keep you. And just watch God, what he'll do. See, when you become totally God's and you go beyond all understanding and you just give yourself unreservedly to him, he starts doing things you didn't even imagine. Things will start happening. Great day. Now with hand raised, I want you to meet me in these altars, would you? I'm coming, Brother Chambers. I want this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want more than an experience. I want more than a moment to shout. I want more than some feeling of ecstasy. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel. Everybody in the building that wants to be a vessel for the Holy Ghost to possess, hurry to this altar. Don't even be slow coming. I'm coming, Lord. I'm visitors. Make yourself at home. Make yourself at home. I want God to have his way. I don't understand it. You don't need to understand it. Just seek God with all your heart. You good enough? You say,
hungry eyes and empty hands keep reaching out to me. Cries for help down in my Why I